Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. Got a packed final hour. Wally Cerbiak, now a college hoops analyst for CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network, will join us at 9:20. But joining us right now, legendary sports writer in Chicago. He wrote The Jordan Rules. He's now a writer for Bulls.com and the author of Hard Labor, The Battle That Birthed the Billion-Dollar NBA Today. It is Sam Smith. Good morning, Sam.
Hi, how are you today?
Hello, Sam.
Doing great. Thanks for coming on the show. I think we had Sam on years ago.
Yes, we did.
It's been awesome. I guess, does his son live locally or something?
I think his son, is it Connor, lives here in the D.C. area?
Yes, he sicked you guys on me, it sounded like.
Yeah, he did.
He said it's his favorite show.
Nice.
Which which suggests I kind of wasted a lot of tuition money.
Very true.
That's another story.
So here's the thing, and then we can move on. Just on the Jordan topic, I think one of the reasons why he contacted us is because, you know, some of us are huge Jordan fans, right? Even though he has this reputation for being not the greatest guy.
Everybody has to be. Sorry, can't be some. He has to be all of you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Former wizard.
Yeah, of course. Right. We're very keenly aware.
The dying gasp of his career.
But here's the thing, Sam. I put him in the same category as, like, Tiger. Like, I am infatuated with Tiger, all things Tiger. But I think he's kind of a douche, not a great guy. But I put Michael in that category. But your son reached out and said, no.
His dad
loved Jordan. Can you tell us some good, like, give me a reason to think he's a decent guy.
Well,
I can
get his current family on the phone, and then they could fill you in. No, actually, he was in this era. If you're around NBA and hang around, you know, and guys are fine to deal with, really. I mean, guys, you know, but basically the people in the NBA are pretty darn good. Kids come in even at such a young age, but Michael, and you know, your celebrity changes you on some level and distances you. But when Michael came to the NBA, there was no one more cooperative, more available, willing to associate with media, public. Michael would come in usually. He didn't like to shoot around before games. Mm-hmm. He never went out before. But he would sit for three, four hours before the game. He'd always get there around 4:30 or something. For seven, Bills used to start at 7:30. And back then, there was no limitations on how long the locker room was open. They limit it now to 30 minutes, literally. And he just loved to, you know, just loved to talk about basketball, pretty much anything. And I always considered him kind of a, it's probably not good to say now, you know, man's man kind of guy. That guy liked to just hang around, you know, a bar or, you know, whatever,
right.
Shooting club these days, and just talk. So, you know, when I wrote the book in Jordan Rules, some of it was not flattering. So. After that, you know, we weren't particularly close. But before that, he was always open. When we've been on the road traveling, he would always, there were a couple of writers who traveled regularly, a friend of mine from the Sun-Times, late Lacey Banks. And Michael, one thing is he never slept, you know, maybe 2-3 hours a night, maybe. Never liked to be sort of on his own. He had a couple of guys he'd hang around with from North Carolina would fly up to him, but they couldn't do it all the time. So he'd say, yeah, you know, we'd get in somewhere. He'd say, come on, hang out in my room, you know, let's play cards or something. Just always liked company and just always liked stuff going on. So, I mean, just a really regular guy. And so I always appreciated that element of it, which you'd never, never find in an NBA player now.
Hmm. Did he treat people nice?
Absolutely. It was Scottie Pippen who was known as No Tippin' Pippen.
Yeah.
by the other players, and but Michael was was great with that. Really, I didn't find any particularly downsides, when I wrote the book, the notion was, and that's why some of it, I take fault for some, how you guys feel a little bit, because the notion was, and, Michael would demonstrate some of that over the years, but it was this manic competitiveness that he had. And if you go back to that era, he'd become famous, and he'd been MVP and defensive player in a year and scoring leader. But he wasn't winning titles. And so the notion became, he's sort of some, nice-looking George Gervin. He's going to score a lot of points, but you can't win. And Magic is a winner, and Bird's a winner. So he sort of grew frustrated out of that. And so sometimes he would take out, his frustrations on teammates. But
right.
it was always sort of in a challenging, sarcastic. The one thing, I got him in trouble over the years with this line about Republicans buy sneakers too. And it was kind of a joke.
Right.
We were sort of joking about it was a Senate race in mm-hmm. North Carolina, and Jesse Helms was running, who was a racist and
right.
Bad guy, and I was telling him about it. And so we were sort of joking about it. He wasn't involved in politics, and most guys weren't then either. None of them really. David Robinson in the NBA was not involved in politics. Not like today. Guys have, I don't know how much involved. They talk about it some. I don't see what necessarily a lot of guys are doing. It's a different era. But that was an example of Michael's wit more than anything. He wasn't going to take one side or the other. He was just sort of. He was quick enough to make a joke about it,
right.
and aware of what the circumstances were, and so you could engage sort of academically with him, because he was pretty aware of stuff and was always going to have the last word on it.
So the Wizards are 32-24 right now. They're in the fifth spot. It's kind of pretty much tied with the Bucks, identical records. But there's a lot of stuff happening off the court with John Wall and Gortat, and apparently they met to kind of air it out. The All-Star break's coming at a good time for this team anyway, because they play the Knicks tonight in MSG, and then they'll have 8 days off, and then wait to see when John Wall comes back. But what's your take on this team now? Didn't make any moves at the deadline. We thought they might. Porter's starting to play better with John Wall off the court. Bradley Beal is obviously a great shooter. What's your take on this team going forward in the Eastern Conference?
The Wizards, there's an interesting element to them because of this issues that's come up, with Wall getting hurt and the team, having a little nice run. And what stood out is it's a team where one guy dominates the ball quite a bit, and that's not uncommon. But the one thing that stood out with the Wizards over the recent years is how little other guys get involved other than Wall and Beal. Sort of like Portland with their guards. It's great to have. Golden State was like that under Mark Jackson, and you sort of had a ceiling because Curry, under Mark Jackson. He recognized how good Curry and Thompson was, and he took advantage of it. That's what Steve Kerr did that was so good and so different. He came in there, and he got them to involve everybody else. And the Wizards don't involve, those two guys don't involve everybody else. So like a guy like Otto Porter, mm-hmm. who has abilities, or Oubre, guys that go in there and don't get involved as much and have lately. Now, if you have a guy like Jordan, or Kobe or, guys like that, they're so good that they can overcome that, inability to involve some other guys and have the defense moving and all the elements that change when you when you cut and you move and you pass more. Mm. Wall's good. He's not that good. And so, you know, that's the challenge, really, for the Wizards. You know, Wall's a terrific player. They're not better without John Wall. But when he comes back, can they get him to involve more guys? And if they can, you know, they have a chance to move up. Cleveland, you know, with the moves they've made, to me, have reestablished themselves. They weren't gonna get back to the finals the way they were.
Right.
And Toronto looked like the team that could do it. I don't think Boston has enough scoring. So if Wall can come back and do those things, you know, with Porter, Morris, they have enough other players who can do things, but they haven't played that way. So I think it's a great experiment to watch. Wall's not good enough to play the role he does the way he does. But they are good enough, you know, to be a team that, you know, maybe goes a couple of rounds or even gets to the conference finals. And then, you know, you never know with Cleveland having added all these guys. I mean, they're going to get Kevin Love back too. So once they do, they should be good enough to get through the East. But, you know, they still have a lot of new players and a lot of young players. And so, you know, I think Washington is really one of the more interesting teams to watch because of that element and because of that's finally come to the fore. I mean, it's pretty obvious what the issue was there, that those guys felt that he's been hanging on to the ball and playing by himself too long. And he's just not great enough to do that.
Joined by Sam Smith, legendary sports writer from Chicago. He now writes for Bulls.com, has a new book out, Hard Labor, The Battle That Birthed the Billion-Dollar NBA Today. You're not aware of this, but several people in this room lost a lot of money betting against the Bulls, who are better than expected this year.
Yeah.
And some people know a little bit about Markkanen. Tell us about him. He seems to be a special rookie.
Well, I'm right now on the team's website, and I had him for 18 wins before the season, but at least didn't bet that.
Mm-hmm.
What they did is they ended up making a trade that turned out pretty darn good. Now, I thought it would be really good when they made it, but we just didn't think that it would occur as quickly. You know, Markkanen was not expected to start. Of course, we had one guy beat up another guy and opened up doesn't often open up a position,
right.
But. You know, he's been difficult to talk to, and part of it is, you know, coming from Finland and 20 years old, and he's actually just wary. You know, he's young, but he as a kid growing up, he became a 7-footer, but his father was a player in Europe, and just made sure the teams he played on, he played point guard, so he. You know, it's like what you see in the park these days. Always like the biggest kids outside shooting threes, you know, at AAU teams or whatever. And that's why there's no centers anymore. But so he developed an ability to handle the ball, you know, to make plays. And it's got a great stroke, you know, great shooting stroke. Because I thought when they drafted him, I don't follow college ball that much, but the way they were describing him, I hadn't seen him play at Arizona, and he really never handled the ball. And anyway, in talking to him, he said, well, they told him, you know, just get the rebound and give it to the point guard. Don't ever dribble. But obviously he can and does that stuff. You know, and so he's been able to, you know, get 30 minutes all of a sudden when he was supposed to be getting 15, and, you know, is a real talent. And, you know, Dunn, who hadn't been starting and it's sort of, you know, kind of been abused almost by the coach, you know, sort of abused child who yelled at all the time and get in there, defend a little bit, got to play. And Levine came back and two-time dunk champion. And he came back, what's really impressed me, having watched Derrick Rose here come back from that ACL injury, it's just a lack of fear about coming back off a major injury like that. He's exerted himself, and Jimmy Butler came in. You know, and there was a lot of publicity last week when he came in with Minnesota for the first time. And, you know, Levine outplayed him. You know, it's sort of like, hey, don't forget about me. You know, I'm not iron filings. You know, I'm playing against my former team, too. And so they, you know, there's a lot. It's interesting now. There's a lot of sentiment in Chicago about the team that is winning. If they're winning too much, you know, sort of like we need them to tank, you know, so we can get a higher draft pick.
Yeah.
And so while while there's support for the team, there's disappointment as they keep winning these games, which is
an awkward position to be in. We'd like them to stop winning, because if they get to 22 wins, we lose a bunch of money.
Over.
But
it's over, Johnny.
Hey, Sam,
I think that's going to be bad for you.
Yeah.
They are really going to, after the break, going to start playing some of these guys who haven't played at all, have been in the G League. But with those three guys, it's going to be tough to not win a few games.
Oh, it's a loser. It's a losing bet. Hey, Sam, you're a legend. Thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Want to do it again.
All right, fellas. I know Connor's really grateful to your show. He can't get going without it.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. It's nice you say that. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Sam. Take care, buddy.
All right. Take care.
All right, we had to run because Wally Cerbiak is going to join us next. We'll talk some college hoops with
awesome.
The former New York Knicks player. Wally Cerbiak next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. We're going to talk some college hoops here momentarily with Wally Cerbiak. Started off the show talking about UVA. They're number one in the country, at least by some polls.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat Miami last night. Miami's a pretty good team. Jim Larranaga always has a competitive University of Miami team.
Great coach. Underrated coach.
Love Coach
they
L.
They had 16 points in the first half against UVA. That's how good that UVA defense
points
is.
Points are tough to come by.
Miami shot something like 6 for 25 or 6 for 28 in the first half.
Yeah, well, they were 18 for 47 for the game, so that's 38%. And they hit 6 of 21 threes. Look, Virginia doesn't want to take 38 threes like they did against Virginia Tech. That's not what they do. That's not their DNA. They want to hold you to 50 points or 55 points, and they want to score about 63. Last night they didn't even get to 60, but they win the game by 9. By the way, Cakes, the men's hockey team blew a 2-0 lead with about, 14 minutes left.
Right.
And blew a 2-1 lead with a minute and a half left.
Wow.
Lost to Slovenia and OT.
Ooh.
No, it's just group play.
Yeah.
All right. Not metal play,
but still,
it's a crushing loss.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much think you have it in the bag at that point.
I mean, it's just a crushing loss.
Yeah, it hurts.
Cakesy, I mean, of course, you know, these are kids that you never heard of.
Yeah. Still root for them, though.
Still root
Apparently, they're not all kids. Pete Medhurst came in and said the goalie's like 38 or 39.
Yeah, I get it. That's just a brutal loss when you lose.
Doesn't really affect me
lead.
That much. I think I'm okay with it. I was into the Sean White thing. Maybe if I knew one player. Do I know one player?
Probably not.
Yeah.
No. They're all minor leaguers.
Yeah. I root for underdogs. I'm all about it. Is Wally with us? Hey, Wally. Wally Cerbiak joins us.
What's up, guys? How
What's
you doing?
Up, man? Of course,
hey,
Wally.
Wally, by the way, had a couple of international competitions back in the day, right?
Oh, yeah. A couple of Goodwill Games gold medals.
That's silly. Where do you display those? You got to have them somewhere.
I got them in my man loft, that's for sure, with all my jerseys and stuff like that. And those were big-time honors. They really were. Anytime you get a chance to play for Team USA, you know, I'm a kid that grew up on my couch watching the Olympics with my parents. We just parked it for 16 days or whatever it is and just took in all the athletes and Team USA. And that was a big part of me growing up and my culture. So having that opportunity to play for Team USA was tremendous. Never gotten on an Olympic team. Because I kind of missed the years, but got on two Goodwill Games gold medal teams.
Pretty
Wally,
cool.
Wally, I was checking out your Twitter before you came on at Wallyball, and you retweeted a pretty funny video recently. I guess I don't know who Colin Mesher is, but he went on Twitter. He said, "When your roommate leaves for the weekend with his door unlocked,
And it's a video of his dorm room. He comes in. There's 500 cutouts of your face pasted all over the wall.
That's funny. Like,
on the door, on the walls, top to bottom, on the ceiling. It's pretty funny. It's a good bit.
That was absolutely hilarious. And I quoted it and said, hashtag, that's Wally's world right there. So it was pretty cool. Well, I was back on campus at Miami, and they did a big Wally night. So they had all those, you know, kind of heads on a popsicle stick type deals going on throughout the whole crowd. So obviously he collected maybe everyone's and then hung them up in his dorm room. So it was kind of cool.
Hey, while we were just talking about UVA before you came on, they win last night by 9, 59-50. You know, they hold Miami to 18 buckets against Virginia Tech on Saturday. Tech had 16 points in the second half and won the game. You know, we know what their DNA is. We know what Bennett wants to do. He wants to lock you down and hold you to 52, 53 points. But yeah, they play so many close games, and they just don't score a bunch. You know, this has been their mantra the last few years. They're going to get into a tight game in the tournament. And if they're shooting poorly like they did against Tech, they're going to lose. Now, do you think that this team is any different than that?
I do. I just think they have more parts, more skill. DeAndre Hunter's he's a versatile player that can get buckets anywhere, outside, inside, great athleticism. And they have, you know, four guys like that you can kind of run a play for, and, you know, they can create either a shot for themselves or create a shot for one of their other teammates. There's no secret. I haven't been a huge fan of their style. I like, as a player, to be able allowed to get into a little more of a rhythm on both sides of the floor. If you're playing against a team like that, and if you're on a team like that, but the way Tony Bennett has done it, you can't argue with the results. And I feel like this year they have the capability to kind of score a little bit more. They don't have to rely on their defense quite as much. And you can't argue with the results this year. They have great shooters at the guard position, and Guy and Jerome, and then, you know, Hall and Hunter. They have every piece you need. I really like Salt, too. I think he's a piece down low. I mean, that guy is a bruiser, big body. He's not scared of anyone. He's not afraid to hit people. And that's what Virginia basketball is all about. So I've kind of changed my tune on this team. I like this team. And I feel like when they need to, they can score. And they don't have to play in a game in the 50s to win. They can beat you if the game gets a little bit up and down. And that's what I like about this year's squad.
So you think they can force pace a little bit? Let's just say they play an Oklahoma, or they play Kansas in the tournament. You know, teams that want to score, you think that they can force pace?
Well, first of all, they're not going to allow those teams to score. Their defense is so good that they're going to make it hard for anyone to score. It doesn't matter who they're playing against. But at the same time, their offense is efficient this year. They got guys that can shoot. They got guys that can make plays. My only concern is in a close game at the end when they need a guy to go one-on-one. They're such a system-oriented team, and their offense is so efficient because of the plays they run and the system that they run, that sometimes at the end of games, you need a guy just to go one-on-one, break down a defense, and win a game. Against Virginia Tech, the shots that Jerome settled for, granted they were, you know, time was running out in regulation and time was running out in OT, I didn't like those shots at all.
Yeah.
You know, 30-footer and 35-footer, you got to take the ball to the basket, try to draw a foul, maybe penetrate and pitch to get a better shot. Those were settles. That's my only concern with the Virginia Cavaliers down the stretch in close games. Who's going to be that guy to go one-on-one and get him a big, big bucket?
You would have hit those shots back in the day, but not Ty Jerome.
I would have been posting up 10 feet from the basket. I was always a guy. My theory was get as close to the basket as you can, and you got a higher percentage to make it. It's incredible the way the new generation of basketball players can shoot from 30 feet out. I always had respect for the three-point shot. I wanted to be set. I wanted to have my, you know, everything square to the basket, be open, not be contested, because, you know, NBA threes are 24 feet from the basket. College threes are 22 feet from the basket. Those are tough shots. But this new generation has practiced it so much, it's become like a free throw for them.
I'm curious, since we were talking about Virginia's suffocating defense, during your college or NBA career, what's the most suffocating defense you faced, and and the best defensive player against Wally Szczerbiak?
The most suffocating defense definitely in college, because they were throwing two and three guys at me. You know, I was seeing boxing ones, triangle and twos, and the whole scouting report was just devised to keep the ball out of my hands and, you know, make it tough for me to make an impact on the game. Kind of like what Trae Young is going through. against at Oklahoma. You know, all the defense is just geared towards, you know, trapping him when he comes off pick and rolls and getting the ball out of his hands. And, you know, that's tough to deal with. But in the NBA, it was Ron Artest. That guy was a tough defender. Because my strength, my strength was I was 245. I was 6'7", 6'8". I could take guys into the post, you know, opposing two guards, guys like, you know, Kobe Bryant, Ray Allen. You know, those guys were quicker and faster than me and more athletic, but I could use my strength against them. Guys like Bruce Bowen. But a guy like Ron Artest, he was just as quick as me, just as fast as me, and just as strong as me. So that's where he posed me a lot of problems.
And crazier than you.
Oh, definitely wackier than
sure.
you.
Yeah. Although Ron and I go back a long way. So we have a lot of respect for each other. We played against each other in AAU here in Queens, and we were teammates at times. So we always have had a great relationship. I love the guy. You know, definitely you know, had some incidents in his career, but yes, you know, we're good buddies.
Right. You mean you never went into the stands and fought the fans? You never did that?
No, I never did that.
You
boy,
stayed away
boy,
from
how times
and
have changed.
Also, Wally, you don't have to compete on CBS's Celebrity Big Brother. Like Metal
I know,
World Peace
I saw
is doing
Ron's
now.
On there. Yeah, hey, we're colleagues, though.
That's
colleagues,
right.
You know, I work for CBS Sports, and he's on CBS, so welcome to the family.
Hey, before we let you go, I mean, we could talk about the entire top 25 with you. I've got a couple minutes left, but
sure.
Along the lines of Virginia, a team that's very similar is Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati doesn't get a lot of national shine. They don't get a lot of national love. Everyone wants to talk about, you know, Duke and Michigan State and Villanova. But Cincinnati is dominating their conference. They're defensively, they're just as good as Virginia. Maybe, you know, they're giving up 55 a game. And they, a lot like Virginia, have a little balance to them. They shoot the three pretty well. They got three or four kids that can do it. What is your take on Cincinnati? And who can you imagine Cincinnati playing Virginia in a tournament game? That game might end 23-22.
It might, but Cincinnati's as good as any team in the country.
Yeah.
I'm totally bought in on them. You know, they have a big three that's got some serious star power, and Washington, Clark, and Evans. Those guys can play with any three guys in the country. Mick Cronin's got that team well prepared every single night. And it's different this year where there's not a ton of talent out there. There really isn't. You know, Duke's probably the most talented team, but they can't get their head screwed on straight because they're all going in different directions. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going on in that locker room. So I give Cincinnati as good a chance as anyone in the country to win the national championship and make a Final Four. I really do. I think this is their year. And I think another reason why is seeing Wichita State move into that conference and struggle a little bit
right.
shows that that conference is a little bit better than people give them credit for. There's a big game tomorrow night on our network against Houston. I'm excited for that one. Cincinnati at Houston, that's going to be probably their biggest test the rest of the year because Houston's a tournament team, and that's a well-coached Kelvin Sampson team that could really ball. So I'm excited for that one. That's going to be a big test for Cincinnati. But seeing the way Cincinnati's still dominating that league with Wichita State coming in there, I think it's a good sign for them moving into the tournament, and it's getting them a little bit more prepared for the tournament to not have any of those letdowns. But on any given day, you know how the tournament goes. You can have a tough day and be bounced. But Cincinnati is a bona fide top 10, top 5 team and will be a very high seed.
And they are destroying teams in the conference. I mean, they're beating teams by 35. Crazy.
Hey, and that's because they defend. I mean, there's nothing wrong with defending, shutting teams down, and then when you get the ball on offense, being efficient. I've always said it. You know, teams like Mike D'Antoni back when I played, the perfect recipe would be to play offense the way they do and get a defensive coordinator and a defensive coach to just coach those guys up on the defensive end, and then you start blowing teams out by 30. And that's what you know, teams like Cincinnati and Virginia have the capability of doing now on both ends of the floor.
Can you believe we're almost to March? It's incredible how quickly the winter went.
I can't believe it. I love it, but that's college hoops, and you know, I'm immersed in the Knicks and the NBA too, so it's all hoops all day long for me in the winter, and nothing better. I love following it. Great storylines in college.
You'll be on the golf course soon enough, bud. It's coming.
You know what? I'm actually heading to the golf course right now. We got a 45, 47 degree day here up in New York. So
that's enough.
Got a little hookup. Yep, that's all you need.
Wow.
I'm a serious addict and junkie when it comes to golf. Any opportunity I get, I'm going to get out there with the boys and have some fun.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, I don't know if you watched any of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, but Larry Fitzgerald won the Pro-Am with Kevin Streelman, and he came in as a 13 handicap. And Michael Wilbon, was claiming he lies about his handicap, that he's really about a 6 or 7. Now, I don't know how you do that.
A lot of people were saying that.
Because you got to post your scores, right? I mean, they're not going to just take your word for it.
Just post bogus scores.
Well, I guess. I mean, if he really wants to win a $50 Nassau that bad. But he played like a 5 handicap in that tournament.
He did. And, you know, anytime you get those double-digit guys that can shoot in the 70s,
that's a red
flag. You kind of wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a big-time red flag. I've seen plenty of those. I call it the Professional Leisure Tour, the PLT. That's what I'm on a daily basis, especially up here on Long Island, some of the best golf courses around. So I know Streelman, too. Streels is a great guy, Duke guy. I played golf with him a bunch of my buddies. One of my buddies actually played on the golf team with him. He's a great dude. So congrats to them for taking it down.
What is your current handicap or index?
I'm a 6. Oh. I think my index is like a 5.2.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
So, I'll take Larry Fitzgerald straight up, but I don't think I want to give him 7 shots.
Hell no.
You're not doing that. You're not falling for that, Wally.
Because you're playing against another 6.
Thank
That's
you.
Right.
All right, Wally.
Thank you, buddy. Have fun, man.
My pleasure. Have a great one, guys.
All right. It's Wally Zerbiak, everybody. He's always awesome on the
I'm
show.
I'm a neophyte. What's the difference between a handicap and a index?
Ask the golf experts.
Your index is just your number.
More precise
Your
number.
Handicap changes based on the course you play. So the easier, you know, courses aren't the same.
Right. So based off the slope
of the course.
So
your
course rating. So
when you actually are playing against another golfer, you should actually ask him what's your index, not
but
what's
the
your
index
handicap.
And handicap are generally going to be very close.
Yeah, they're within one or two.
By the way, they put out a statement. Yeah. The person that was killed was the host family, one of the guys. So probably
it's a family friend.
The member of the family that was hosting him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so probably like the head of the household or whatever. The guy was there flying around in the Ferrari showing off, and the guy donked off. So horrible. So he escaped serious injury, withdrew from the event.
And you're talking about Billy Haas.
Flying home and obviously, you know, shaken by the whole thing and feels horrible for the family.
So what is – so was there anybody – obviously someone's at fault. Was it him?
I don't know.
No. Yeah, it's a terrible story.
I don't know that.
All right, that was Wally Zerbiak. Yeah, I think we could talk to him all day.
He's awesome.
All right, don't go anywhere. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Any of you guys actually have Valentine's Day plans?
Yes, I'm going to MGM National Harbor to see Flops.
He's
going to
have his own solo Valentine's Day.
As the poker ambassador, it's part of my job.
I think I'm going to be following him to get that gift.
That's the only hearts you want to see is in a flesh case.
Yeah, I want to see lots of hearts today at MGM National Harbor.
My Valentine's gift to my family was to say Happy Valentine's Day.
That's it?
Well,
no card?
We're going to do a little
Pro flowers. Cherries, berries.
I gave my wife pro flowers 2 weeks ago.
I know, me too. But
I actually took them out of the box.
Yeah. I didn't do that.
I'm going to go to dinner tonight.
Yeah, I think we may hit Coastal Flats tonight.
Oh, that's a good spot.
It is a good spot.
We did.
Just walk.
There usually is some honeys there. Honeys.
We did dinner on Monday nights because we couldn't do it tonight because my daughter has volleyball, etc. But what is the name of that spot? I was telling my wife the other day. What's the name of that restaurant in Fairfax that I love that's owned by the same people that own
Arty's?
Arty's.
You love Arty's?
You just love the butter. The bread
Listen, tastes like a donut.
I really don't
But
eat
that
bread.
Butter is the same butter at Coastal Flats. It's
of course
amazing.
It is.
That bread and butter is incredible.
It's delicious.
And I will make an exception.
And their fresh fish is amazing.
Yes.
Take it from a guy who's eaten at Arty's, I don't know.
10 times? Well, you go there a lot.
50 times with my man Ralph from Farish over the years.
Yeah.
The fish is amazing.
I got to go back to Arty. Seriously, I love it. I'll eat all the bread in the restaurant.
Now, the problem is in Fairfax.
Who cares? I'll drive it.
You're going to drive on the Beltway?
Cakes.
During rush hour?
I drive to Chantilly or Herndon. We drive all the time. Every day is nothing.
He basically lives in Virginia now.
Yeah, it's nothing.
I think I'm going to go to the Wood of Copper tonight for Valentine's dinner. Get a tavern.
By the way.
Get a tavern burger. Bald.
Both producers.
Shocker, because you have the freaking horns there.
Yeah,
That's
course.
Just a good spot to go to.
Yeah.
It's a great
spot to
go to.
I'm sure it's a great spot to go to.
Great bar. Great food.
Please always remind me, if there is a Junk's appearance, we're about to get on the Beltway. Around rush hour, please tell me to think about it before I.
Why? What was the last one you did?
The last one I did.
Why are you
probably
saying
Leesburg?
This?
No, Leesburg.
Not Leesburg. The one that's jumping out at me because it took so long to get there.
Yeah,
it's when I went to Duluth Trading, which is in Manassas, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And I think the appearance started at 5 or 6, and it just takes forever.
Well, Manassas is.
What time did you leave your house?
Takes forever. Yeah. Like 2 hours. It took me 2 hours to get there.
You know what amazes me?
2 hours.
You know what amazes me, though? We agreed to an appearance back in the day. This is during the HFS years.
Yes.
And we did have a Baltimore listenership then. But every time I drive, like to see my brother, or anytime I'm on 95 and we pass by the Bel Air,
yes,
Best Buy,
deep,
I'm like, oh, we did an appearance there.
I can't believe we
did more
that.
Than one.
I can't believe I drove. I don't even know where I was living.
That's like a half hour past Baltimore.
Wackier than that. My wife works with a teacher that commutes every day, every single day, from Bel Air to Adelphi. Think about that commute. Let that one
sink in. Why do they choose to do that? Why wouldn't they move closer where the food is?
I mean,
Mike Jones does
family issues.
Or used to. Mike Jones used to drive from Delaware to Ashburn.
Talk to him over the weekend at Grant's wedding.
It's all about having enough chips.
You need all the chips you can get.
Yeah, I mean, to move closer, you need more chips.
Or you're trying to save and hoard all your chips.
Well, some people can only afford where they live. They can't. They're not big money like you. You can live wherever you want. Yeah. You got all the chips in the world. Nobody else has those chips.
Need more chips. Hey,
if you're buying $250 watches just to have GPS. $250
watches is a poop
you're buying
watch.
$8,000 lenses. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Lens new is a lot.
Right, exactly.
I got to use.
You got chips.
He's easily paying $1,500 to $2,000.
If I didn't have a few chips after 20-some years of doing this, then it would be a miserable failure.
Then you'd be Esteban Loaiza trying to peddle 40 pounds of coke.
Can we really spotlight that clip
chips
and focus on the accent there? Because we were all talking over it. Listen to Cakes' accent here.
I have evolved.
Sounds like Valdez.
Hello, I've grown over
Sounds
years.
Sounds like current Valdez.
All right, I want to hear. What year was this, by the way?
96.
Who knows?
All right, let me hear this. This is Cakes in 1996.
He's easily paying $1,500 to $2,000.
I guarantee. God. Why can he kick his accent and you can't kick yours?
Kick it.
I don't know. Did you go to a speech therapist?
Yeah. Her name's Amy Auville. She said, you sound
she just
terrible.
Mock you?
You sound like a townie.
She said, you know what it is? Terrible on the air.
It's because we mock him every time he says it. We don't mock you, though.
Yes, you do.
We do kind of mock him.
Not as
when
much.
When I go, water.
Well, that's how you. Well, that's how you say it. You say oon. Who says oon? No, it's not the word.
People from Glen Burnie and Pasadena.
Good
that's
Lord.
Who.
Can you say
and
it the correct
from
way?
Philadelphia.
What? Can you say it the human way?
What? On?
Yeah.
On.
No.
On.
No.
On.
Oh, so now you're trying
on.
To say it
differently.
See, that's the way you usually say it.
Say
it.
Give me something
his
to say.
His accent's not as bad as it was a few years
it's
ago.
Getting better.
It's definitely
evolving.
Getting better, I feel like.
Definitely getting better. And it's making you sound a little smarter.
You say one.
Give me something to say.
Water.
Well, no, in like a sentence. Because if you just say, because I can say water.
Can you put some Old Bay on my new crabs?
Put some Old Bay on my blue crab.
Right.
How about
that's a perfect Valdez sentence.
I was visiting the Inner Harbor and had a glass of water.
I was visiting the Inner Harbor and had a glass of water.
Water.
Glass of water.
Water.
Glass of water.
Water.
We
it's almost like one glass of water.
Water.
But Cakes, didn't you say that you actually used to practice?
Yes, because I sounded like the world's worst
well, we
county.
We all did. We all did. You know, from Prince George's
instead,
County, you're right there on the border.
Post, I would say paste.
Where's the right. Motrin clip?
Because
that was EB with Motrin.
Yep.
It's right here.
He's popping Motrin.
That's God, not that bad.
Why
quick.
Do we talk like that? There's no way I talk like that.
You weren't as bad.
You were
why?
The least effective.
Why did I talk
you weren't
like
as bad, but you went to school in Salisbury. You should have been.
Why? I probably did.
Why did I talk like this? Valdez, as soon as I'm done playing this, please erase this clip.
You guys look a little haggard, a little cross-country flight going on, a little,
that's just
little video
stupid.
Shoot action I heard, Brody, that went a little bit wrong.
That's not the accent. That was
that was just being nervous.
That's just me. Just sheer stupidity.
When you get nervous, you talk. You get a little wordy.
You got a little wordy.
I got super wordy with Brody from the Distillers.
And you didn't even realize it until we played it the next
day.
Had
no clue that was happening.
Yeah.
World's worst broadcaster.
Yeah. Happens the best of us,
sitting right here.
By the way, the two-man luge, the bottom guy.
I didn't even realize it was a two-man luge.
That's the worst gig in the country. I couldn't do it. Or the top guy, you'd pick your
either
poison.
One's bad.
Either one's bad. You could tell me I'd be an Olympian, but I'd have to be
a
two-man luge.
We should have Drab and AWOD demonstrate it tomorrow.
Yeah. I think they demonstrate it on the way to the break room every day.
Yeah, right. I think they do it in their spare time.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Can we do a two-man sledding thing in the office? Have those two dummies.
Sure, why not?
Now, Jason wants to do 4 hours on West Virginia hoops.
Yes. Can we do that tomorrow?
Why don't people get out of here? Like you do.
Grant Danny coming up next.
Bob. Big Bob. Baby.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.